Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our message this morning is our epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 1, the preacher exhorts us all. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. This is our text. Consider Jesus. This is what the preacher who first proclaimed the sermon that you and I today call the book of Hebrews, this is what he told his hearers that we ought to do. But what is it that you and I are to consider about Jesus? He tells us only two verses later in verse 3, that, quote, Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, unquote. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, of course we should do that, Pastor. I mean, who among us here in this room came to worship this morning intending to worship or glorify Moses? Anybody? Good. I mean, we all know that Jesus is greater than Moses, even as great as Moses was, as Yahweh's mouthpiece before Pharaoh, as Yahweh's prophet and earthly leader to God's people. But before we just move on from what we might think is an obvious and settled truth, I'd like to ask you for just a few brief moments here to try to put yourselves in the place of those three guys that climbed up the mountain with Jesus to pray. Those disciples that don't know that day what you and I know today. Peter, James, and John. They are, of course, living out in the moment what we have heard, read, recounted, and had preached to us many times. So they don't have the clarity that you and I have been given in knowing the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to famously say in his radio broadcast. Anybody remember that? Oh, yeah, see, we're all old enough for that. You see, at that time, when Peter, James, and John are hiking up Mount Tabor in the region of Galilee, if it would have been close to blasphemy, heresy, for anyone to say or think that anything or anyone was greater than Moses. Now, I looked up Mount Tabor, which is generally considered to be the hill, as we Coloradoans would call it, that Jesus took the disciples up that day for a prayer on the summit. It rises up like a big boil in the plains of Lower Galilee, a little more than 9 miles west of the Sea of Galilee. From the base of it to the top, it is a 1,500-foot climb in elevation, about 1.5 miles long along switchbacks that take from 1 to 2 hours to hike. Because Jesus and his disciples were likely in better shape than most of us, I said most, I know there's a few in here that might be in better shape, but than most of us today, this wouldn't have been too difficult of a hike. But more likely, a special little moment away from the others with Jesus. But still, by the time they are getting toward the top of the mountain, of the hill, it's safe to say, because it was a steep climb, that their hearts were racing and their breath was heightened. And it isn't hard to imagine that they had some time climbing that rocky place to think about the grand stories they had heard over the years about the heroes of old, those who also met God on the tops of mountains. As faithful Jews, when they were small children, it's safe to say that their parents, their grandparents, told them bedtime stories, true stories, of those heroes of the faith. Stories of David the king, Elijah the prophet, Joseph the prince of Egypt, and more. But none of those stories commanded the hushed tones and the serious leaning forward attention like the centuries-old story of Moses. Try to imagine what it was like for these believers in their day. No TVs, no tablets, no cell phones to entertain them and put them to sleep. Not even any storybooks like Dr. Seuss or Mother Goose. Only readings from the scrolls that they and their ancestors heard read in the synagogue each Sabbath. And so imagine their oil lamps burning low and warm, light flickering across the face of their beloved father or some other family member, saying of Moses, "You know, even his birth was nearly impossible. Oh, I know, I've told this one before. No, Papa, no, Uncle Yev, tell it again. Don't skip a moment." And the story would then unfold in front of them. A blazing bush on the side of Mount Sinai, the great escape from Pharaoh and his army, the water parting in front of them, and then the words of Yahweh written in stone with God's commandments for his people. And Moses' face glowing bright after seeing Yahweh face to face. And water coming from rocks. Oh, and don't ever forget the words that we've heard the rabbi read from the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All of those five important books of the Pentateuch. So many important words from God recorded by this one mighty servant of God, Moses. Who, pray tell, who to this point has ever surpassed Moses? None. No other has seen and heard God quite the way old Moses did. It's just as our Old Testament reading says in Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. "And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom Yahweh knew face to face." Those are the true history and life-forming stories that raised Peter, James, and John from young boys to the grown men and disciples of Jesus that they were that day when he brought them up to the top of Mount Tabor to pray. And then suddenly, as they come to the summit, and after a while they hear Jesus praying to his Father, they find out that they are not alone with Jesus. Look, there's Moses himself and Elijah too. And now the preacher speaking to you and me today in this sermon that he wrote to the Hebrews rocks the first century world by telling us to consider Jesus there. The voice of God, the Father, the voice that came out of the cloud, though, was more direct than that. Not so much like an invitation. Hey, just consider it. You know, hey, folks, you ought to consider this guy named Jesus when you have time. No, this voice that Peter, James, and John heard was no mere suggestion. It was a clear command from the Creator of all things. "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Yes, Jesus is worth far more glory than any whom those disciples or you and I have ever idolized or idealized. It is no contest. Jesus is just plain greater. So consider him to be your hero, your Savior, your God. Peter seemed to take what he was seeing quite seriously. Jesus, who was transformed to a dazzling white, talking with Moses and Elijah. I mean, he even offered up what seemed like a reasonable response. "Hey, what if we stay up here for a while? I'll even build some shelters." But was it possible Did he mistook the moment as a chance for them to partake in the glory of their longtime heroes, Moses and Elijah? Had they missed perhaps the fact that they had already followed up and would soon follow down the mountain the very glory of God himself in the person of Jesus? Was he more than a friend? More than a special rabbi? Seems like a pretty good possibility now. But the Father, he leaves no doubt. Listen to him, my beloved Son. Consider Jesus, would you? He is worthy of so much more glory, even than Moses. Now, of course, what you Christians now know, and what Peter, James, and John would soon learn, is that God's version of glory often looks an awful lot like what you and I today might consider to be shame and suffering. But they don't know that yet. At least not to its fullest extent. So consider with me the kinds of things the disciples might have been thinking about on the hike down the mountain. If while walking up they remembered what their families had told them about Moses, on the way down, I suspect, they were thinking more about what they could tell their families about Jesus now. And if they couldn't tell them that day, because after all, verse 36 in our gospel says they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen, then someday soon, they would be telling anyone and everyone about Jesus more than Moses. In fact, it was John who wrote down so much of what Jesus said and did. I'm sure reveling in his mind all the while, all the first-hand moments like this that he had with Jesus. How is it then, as we consider Jesus, that he is worthy of more glory than Moses? Now consider these points. Moses is from of old, going way back as the father of our faith with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. People have been flocking to him for years. But Jesus, he was with God since before the beginning of time and of all things that exist. Look at all that Moses did, even separating the Red Sea as we've talked about. But Jesus, he walked on water. Moses caused bread to be found on the ground after taking his concerns to God. But Jesus, he is the very bread of life. Moses made water flow from a rock. But Jesus, he is living water. Moses wrote all of those sacred words in Scripture. But Jesus, he is the Word. The very Word of God in the flesh. And you know what? If you or anyone else listens carefully and correctly to Moses, you find out that he is whispering to you throughout everything that he writes that we all ought to consider Jesus. You see, the glory that the disciples saw on Moses' face there on the mountain, that's not his own glory. But the glory of Jesus reflected on Moses and Elijah. In that promised land that Moses led God's people toward for 40 years, that's our ultimate rest in Jesus. The rest of salvation. The promise of forgiveness from all of our sin. Moses led God's people from slavery toward freedom. But that exodus, as glorious as it was, John would tell us later, was not even on the same level as the exodus that Jesus brings to us. As he leads us from death to life, to the freedom that lasts into eternity. John 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Ah, the preacher, he gives Moses his due for sure, telling us in verse 5 that Moses was, past tense, faithful in all God's house as a servant. But Jesus, he says in verse 6, is faithful, present tense, over God's house as the Son. He's the builder of the house. That's the difference. John even told us in verse 35 of chapter 8, a servant or slave does not remain in the house forever, but the Son remains forever. And since the Father promised of Jesus, or proclaimed of Jesus from the cloud, this is my Son, my chosen one, then we know who John is talking about when he says again, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And since the Father also said in a clear, audible voice, listen to him, now just try to just think on the gravity of that for a minute. God Almighty says of Jesus, listen to him. Why would anyone ever choose not to seriously consider Jesus after that? When he offers all mankind the freedom today to live in him, to die in him, to rise in him to eternal life. In fact, we see now that we have every reason to consider everything that Jesus says, not only about us and our life, but also the words that he spoke to his disciples just days before the transfiguration, and then again on the way down the mountain, saying that he must die and rise and lead all sinners from the cross through the most glorious exodus that the world has ever seen, out of hell and into his glorious presence. Yes, Jesus is worth much, much more glory than Moses, friends. We knew that coming into this message today. But my dear Christians, consider Jesus now today. When you think about the greatness of those you admire, those you look up to, and perhaps even consider to be the heroes in your life. Yes, even as you consider your personal mentors of faith, those that God has used to lead you and teach you in the faith, be thankful for them, of course. But hear and see in them the same call that we hear issued to the Hebrews. Consider Jesus. That's how you know if these, quote, heroes in your life are really heroes, if they are pointing you to Jesus. And know that he, Jesus, is worth more glory than anyone else. So friends, listen to him, follow him throughout this hike of life that we all are on. Now understand, the steps down this mountain today, they will be dicey at times, sometimes even seem impossible. So always, always remember the encouragement that we receive just a little bit later in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So that you will never, ever fall from his glory. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, the preacher says. Looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, where we will be one day. He's the only way to the freedom and eternal glory. He won it for us all. So we walk, we run to and through the cross of Jesus, set free from the death that we deserve by Jesus, to burst from the tomb into eternal life where we will bask in the glory of Jesus. And all because of Jesus, you are free indeed. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds, and keep you in Jesus today and forever. Amen.